Hello, welcome to the big show. It's Friday the 13th. Unlucky for some, but not unlucky for me. I've got a fantastic panel of tech gurus to talk the week in tech. And what a fine panel they are. Now, first up, it's a man who makes me feel rather inadequate when it comes to tech. Quite inadequate. Mark Boussos, how are you, sir?
I am just fine, thank you very much.
And how has life been? It's been a while.
Life has been busy. I make my living in the education sector as a techie, and the summer is the only time we're allowed to change stuff. So I've had an extremely busy summer.
I feel your pain. Up until 2 years ago, that was my life as well. Yeah, people go, oh, working in education, you get the summer off. No, you don't.
Certainly not as a sysadmin, you don't. It's like, no, you're not allowed to touch anything. You're not allowed to touch anything. Now we have to do everything, and they're not allowed to touch anything.
No, never. They don't appreciate how hard we work.
Exactly.
Well, great to have you on. And next up, the man who thinks that the world and maybe the universe may implode, that our podcasting roles may have reversed, is Rich Smith. Hello, mate.
Hello. Yeah, I'm not sure about this you being in charge thing over me. This feels odd.
But it's freaking you out.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, you feel a bit weird.
No, I feel good now it's happening. It's all right. I trust you.
You sent me a message this week, and this isn't right.
It's just, you know, surely I'm in charge. I don't know. But
I don't know. You'll make up for it on Sunday.
I know. I have various punishments in line.
That sounds filthy for anyone who doesn't know what I mean. But anyway. Moving on. Next up is my partner in crime and good mate, Chris Campion. And will you stop bloody running?
I'm loving my running.
I get up in the morning, hangover, bacon sandwich, and it's like, yeah, Chris has run 10K this morning. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake, Chris.
That was kind of my normal weekend now. I did a good 10 mile. I did the Yorkshire 10 mile race last week and got a good time at that. So and I've just signed up to do next year's Yorkshire Marathon. The London Marathon's all gone. Getting into that outside of a charity slot is pretty much impossible, it seems. So yeah, I've got a year to train for the Yorkshire Marathon now.
And the one thing I'm not going to do is stand next to you anytime soon.
Is what, sorry?
I'm not going to stand next to you anytime soon. He's skinny, man. Yeah. And the next up is the man who would like to press his Lego bricks against me. It's Jeffrey Gamet. How are you, mate?
I think I'm going to make a little Lego U and just have it in my office.
Oh, God, don't. It's bad enough that I just realized that because I've done something really dodgy in Google Hangouts, that the first 3 minutes of this show was just my face because I forgot to switch. So post-edit, I will put something in. But yes, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Maybe I'll make minifigures of you and your wife and me.
Careful.
And I'll stage scenes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'll be the one that's put back in the box.
Maybe not. You never know. Oh, I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right. And I will pass it on to the wife. Don't you worry.
All right. Excellent. And I just have to say, Bart, you look great. I haven't seen you for a while. You look great.
I am now at the exact right weight I should be for my height. I'm physically in good form, better form than I have been in since I was like 20.
That's awesome. Go you.
Yeah, well, me, to be honest, I very heavily credit the Apple Watch. Seriously.
It does help.
It made the difference for me because it gave me actual numbers to work with. And I can deal with numbers, right? I track calories. It works. Yeah.
Yep. When I started putting something tangible to what I was doing, it changed so much for me.
Yeah. So well done, Apple. You know, it's well spent money on that Apple Watch. I'm on my second one now, and I love it to bits. It's my favorite piece of tech.
Cool.
That's awesome.
And also joining us tonight, we've lost him again, but I will try while we are chatting to get him back. Mr. Will Green is with us. Oh, you killed the video. Good man. I couldn't see you.
Yeah, no, I thought it was the bandwidth here isn't great. and everybody's very choppy, and I'm sure it's my fault. But yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
Fantastic. How are you, sir? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, it was great while it lasted.
Freaking technology. Normal session with William Green will be resumed very soon. But someone save me from this nightmare. The stories from the week in tech. Who's first? It's the little lottery, and who's going to go
first? Boom.
Jeffrey Gamet.
And Bart, had I realized you were on earlier, I would have been even more excited about this story, because I have a feeling you're going to like it. So Okay. Here's the deal.
Oh,
Last week, Google introduced the Google Home Mini. They gave out box loads of these things to media and bloggers and all these people that were at this event where they introduced this thing. And so all these people take them home. They start writing up reviews saying, oh, this is so cool and I love it. It's, you know, $50 and it's like having an Echo Dot. And then one of the people that was testing it found out that theirs had been recording every single thing they said nonstop for days.
How did he find that out?
Well, what happened was his started responding at times when it wasn't, or when he wasn't saying the trigger words.
Right.
And then he noticed that the little activity lights on the top that let you know it's trying to interact with you, those are just flashing, just like strobing all the time. Jeez. And so then he went and looked at the logs in his Google account, because you can go and see what it's logged that's been said.
Well, that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. So that's good. And what he saw was the day that he plugged this thing in, that there was a new nondescript device that showed up in his list, and it was just like thousands of entries.
God. Oh, Jesus.
So he contacts Google. And Google PR and says, I don't know what's going on, but here's exactly what's happening. And I'd love to get a statement, because I'm going to be going live with my review very soon. And I'm telling people, this is what's happening. So Google ends up, so this is like on a Friday. So Friday night, Google sends someone to this person's house and says, here's not one, but two, so that you have two to try and see how they work. Please let us have that one back so we can figure out what's going on, because this shouldn't be happening. So in the end, it turns out that the batches that they gave out to the media and to the bloggers had a defective button that you press where if you went to manually invoke talking to the device, it was defective on a lot of these. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was just registering as on all the time.
Oh, God. And does this affect the ones that are actually on the market, or just the review units?
Well, it doesn't affect the ones that are on the market, because what Google did was they pushed out an update to everything that just killed the button.
Oh, okay.
Just across the board. And they said, we'll figure out how to fix this, but in the meantime, you just can't use the feature. We killed it.
Well, that's a good response, I guess.
Yeah. So anyhow, with this whole thing happening, people just immediately have jumped on the Google is spying on me. I knew it. They're as evil as I thought. And my take on this is, wow, that really sucks that they ended up with what appears to be some defective components and got these things out in the public without realizing that there was a problem. But it's pretty cool that they reacted so quickly to address the issue.
Yeah, I things go wrong. That Murphy's Law, excrement occurs. Mm-hmm. And I tend to judge companies by how they react when the shit hits the fan. And that sounds to me like Google did all the right things.
But isn't that the PR nightmare of these home assistants, though? Because people are like, they're always listening to us, they're always recording us, and this is the first one at the gate. And yeah, fair enough, it is, it's the pre-release ones they send to reviewers, but That's not the sort of PR you really need for a device like this right now.
No. Or ever. And Batwitch's response in the chat room, where she says, yeah, right, they didn't know that it did, or that in some, wow, I can't even read. It must be the difference between proper English and American English. Yeah, right, they didn't know that it did that in some instances. Really odd hardware fault. I agree with that. Cough, bullshit, cough.
What are they doing with that? What if they're recording everything that's going on in your living room or any other? What are they doing with that? Why do they want that? Who is going to sit and listen to it? Why?
But if they were being nefarious, they wouldn't have had the activity lights come on. They would have done it without the activity lights, and they wouldn't have logged it to your account. They would have just silently logged it to their servers. I mean, if you're going to be sneaky evil about it, you don't do it in such a transparent and open way.
No. Well, that's a capacitive button on the top of that Google Home, and some people are saying the fact they've traded it in fabric, that may have been one of the issues. It's gone out faulty, you know. It's gone out always on. I don't know what reason that is. I think, like Bart said, they've done the right thing by saying, right, we'll turn that off until we can fix it. And the first thing that the Google Homes that go out will come out with the same issue, but the first update will disable that button. But we know this is techies, you know, you go to like Jeff's Link, Android Police, and those sort of things. We know those websites, but people are going to go, why does my button don't work? Aren't they? They're going, there's a button on this, it's meant to turn it on.
Yeah, the Google support desk's certainly going to get a few contacts probably over the next few days saying, why isn't this working?
Well, there isn't.
Does anybody else get their, their Echo, their dots just going off at random without any trigger word being said?
Mine does, the one that's in my living room does occasionally. I'm going to just kind of speculate and say 3 times a month, I'll be surprised when my Echo Dot tells me it didn't understand what I said.
It's one in the living room, and I can hear it during the night. Even though the one in the living room, because it's fairly open plan in our house, and the one in the living room can during the night, I can hear it say, "I didn't understand what you said."
I think that your house is haunted.
The crap out of me! Damn, that's frightening.
It has done a couple of times.
Someone needs to put that in a horror movie. That's, I get out of the house. Take just leave. Don't go back. That's the mistake they always make. Just run.
Well, yeah, the fact that yours is just doing it,
If the one in the bedroom did it during the night, that wouldn't surprise me, because I know I sleep talk. That wouldn't surprise me. But the one downstairs, when you hear that go off, yeah,
you need to move. You need to get your child to leave the house now and never come back.
Yeah, I find mine goes off fairly regularly, probably 2 or 3 times a week on its own without any noise.
It doesn't help that the frickin' Alexa adverts, they do the trigger word on the bloody adverts.
I have said this a million times, and I'm going to say it again. The stupidest thing I have ever come across in tech is making the trigger phrase be the name of your bloody product, right? You don't set off Siri by saying the word Siri. You have to salute her. You have to give her a greeting. You don't set off Google by just saying the word Google, but you say the word Alexa, and everyone who was dumb enough to buy one, they're now going bloop, bloop. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to censor myself. If you're going to buy such a flawed product, Alexa, Alexa, Alexa.
Buy some eggs.
Has anyone else seen the first episode of this latest season of South Park?
No.
Right. It's basically just let's screw with everybody who has got a voice assistant in the same.
My God. This is why I love South Park.
It's a work of art. It really is. I encourage you to acquire a copy, or it will probably be on British TV soon, and play that loud in a room with your Echo and your Google Home and everything else, and just see what happens.
Yeah. Well, like we mentioned last week, my 90-year-old nan, I gave her an Echo, and the word Alexis works as well.
It's close enough.
Because I've got fed up just going.
Is it really?
Yeah, she's
Alexis, what time is it?
It's 12 o'clock.
Oh my God, it works.
It works.
You can change the trigger word on the Echo, though, can't you? There's a choice.
Yeah, there's like three or four trigger words.
But they're all dumb. You can have Amazon, which is no better. You can't even turn on the news. The European Commission has just sued Amazon. Bloop, bloop.
But it's got to be better than saying, OK, Google, hasn't it?
It's OK. Well, it's OK.
I
don't really care what it is. As long as your product is some sort of clear salutation that doesn't come up. It could be oogly boogly. As long as it's not something you say in daily conversation, it's a sane and logical design. Amazon's design is fundamentally flawed, and how they have managed to make it years into this product cycle with such a daft and stupid design, I do not understand.
Oh, but for balance, just to make sure we screw with everyone, hey Siri, play the Spice Girls. Oh shit, she's done it. Damn it!
Well, you see, I have a really good solution to that. I only have one voice assistant. It's on my watch, and it only listens when I raise my wrist. So you can say anything to me and none of my digital assistants will fire. I have to want to make it listen.
I didn't think that would actually work.
Okay, turn your phone upside down. So it's face down. And when you do that, Siri stops listening.
Oh.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Well, just turn it right round.
And then so, face like, down, stop annoying me, I guess.
Mine's face down. Hey, Siri, what time is it?
It's silence. 12 o'clock.
Oh, God damn it. It
damn it.
It's quite confrontational. Like, Siri is kind of, that's a greeting, but Google is like, yeah. Okay, Google. what time is it today? It's just a bit more aggressive. I was never that comfortable with it.
It does sound a bit like you're about to tell it off, all right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Google. Yeah.
Come and tidy your room.
I've got a pocket watch. You don't even have to talk to it. I'm looking at it now, and it just tells them the time. It's really good.
It just knows, just because you're looking at it, it knows you need to know the time, so it shows you.
Yeah, that screen wakes up so quickly. I mean, it's really, really good, the tech they have in there.
Yeah, the battery life's amazing.
Can you get a pocket watch style strap for an Apple Watch?
Oh, you must be able to.
Like just a long chain with the little hook on the end or whatever it is.
Somewhere. Oh, you probably can. But your watch won't stay on. And you won't stay logged in.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yes. Unless you cut your finger off and stick it to the bottom of it.
God. Don't do that.
That's one for watchOS 5. Put a pocket watch mode in. I'd like that. Oh
my God.
My pocket watch is an Auris Star, apparently, and it has 17 jewels. I never quite understood what the jewel part is. It has... Look, when we started this, I could only talk to you over Wi-Fi. Connect, and it seems to be working okay. How weird is that?
It's very strange.
I know.
So you're not one for the smartwatch, Will?
No. I think the Apple Watch is, to be honest with you, as far as I'd never touch. Probably they do something good. I mean, if you look at like say Rolex, is it Submariner or something like that? Any of the classic watches, on your wrist, but with the Apple watch thing, I just think it's so ugly. I would be ashamed to put it on my wrist.
It's all right. It does the things it needs to do. I think that's the point. I do it because I'm a lazy ass. I can't be asked to get my phone out of my pocket. That's the main reason I got it. And because I'm so antisocial.
Why do you need to get your phone out? See, you can just leave it in your pocket. And then when you have 10 minutes on the bench to watch the world go by, check your email or whatever it is, or check the news. And if you're having a poo in the morning, you check the news as well.
I call that making the news.
When you're laying the baby down.
And all that. My God.
Dropping the kids off at the pool.
Oh, exactly.
Giving birth. Oh, no, I'm not even longer. Oh, God. Is that when you was around? There are rules, boys. There are rules.
Huh.
Well, we haven't broken any rules. None of us have sweared, I don't think, have we?
No, I have.
Yeah, we're all mature enough men, and it's just this descending into anarchy. Well, no, none of us are.
I was going to say mature. Where did this come from?
we're all at home on a Friday night. It's fine. It's fine.
It doesn't mean we're mature. It means we don't have a life. There's a difference.
Oh, damn it.
Now, I may have a life. It's Friday afternoon for me.
Fair point.
True, actually, yes.
Okay, Jeff, I don't.
Jeff has the rest of his day to make up for it. Yeah, the thing is, Jeff, you can realize your mistakes and then go make up for them tonight.
That's true.
I can pick up hookers and strippers in Norwich. No, you can't.
Don't, though. If you... Oh.
good luck with editing this one.
I live in Norwich. I'm probably related to half of them anyway. Hello, Auntie Charlotte. How are you? How's business? Oh, yeah. Not too bad. Yeah. Here's a
do you want another news story?
Oh, please, that? Richard, please.
There you go. Star Wars vacuum cleaners. What more do you want out of life?
Star Wars vacuum cleaners.
Star Wars vacuum cleaners. Samsung.
Tell me about Star Wars vacuum cleaners, Richard.
Samsung are doing a Darth Vader and Stormtrooper special edition. Hang on, what is it? It's got a stupid PowerBot vacuum cleaner, which will go around your house breathing like Darth Vader and hoovering up all your stuff you have hoovered up.
No,
and
it's the problem with the Darth Vader one. The problem with the Darth Vader one is it picks up only half the stuff because it can only grab on the inhale.
No, I'm sorry. I can't take this story. I hate Star Wars.
Is this like a Roomba-like thing, or is it just a vacuum you pull around?
No, it's like a Roomba thing, but yeah, it breathes like Darth Vader and is $800.
$800?
Wow. So I pay 800 quid to have something very, very, very slowly vacuum my house and annoy the crap out of me permanently as it's wheezing around my house.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Oh, they are selling it for just $66.59 a month over 12 months.
So you should buy
really
three.
Bad about your decision.
So what you're saying, at 3 o'clock in the morning, your vacuum cleaner releases itself and breathes deeply.
At least that's something that's meant to happen at 3 o'clock in the morning and not just your Amazon Echo going off randomly, scaring the crap out of everybody. It might be all right.
Well, you're awake at 3 in the morning, aren't you, Rich? You could just do the hoovering.
I'm not doing the hoovering. Are you kidding me?
So wait a second, $700 for the Stormtrooper, $800 for the Darth Vader, because that's the one that has Wi-Fi.
So the
Stormtrooper ones are less functional than the Darth Vader one, and they're still $700.
Why do I want Wi-Fi on my vacuum cleaner?
It's not clear to me what the Wi-Fi actually does.
Is it like an access point that wanders around so your signal comes in and out as it wheezes around your house? I mean, what?
No, what it does is it wanders around your house saying, Alexa, Alexa, Alexa.
It does. I've got Alexa talking to me, and then all of a sudden that wandering around backing up during the night, that freaked me out.
Alexa, buy a Roomba.
Alexa, buy Love Eggs.
Just plain Alexa, old, you know. Stop.
Apparently, I almost just bought a Roomba. Whoops.
That could be an expensive little Speako.
Yeah.
So apparently, it does work with Amazon Alexa. That's why you want the Wi-Fi and Samsung Connect. I don't know.
Oh, so you can sit on the couch and have your Echo turn on Vader to vacuum the carpet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
I think what you'd actually be doing is the opposite. You'd be telling the lady in the tube to stop that bloody wheezy vacuum.
I'm trying to watch Star Wars. Stop the vacuum.
Yeah.
Or you're watching Star Wars and she goes, you freaking hoovering again.
This is not the vacuum you're looking for.
Pretty darn sure about that.
They need to do a partnership with the people that are making the little BB-8 robots and have them talk to each other. That'd be amazing.
Around the house.
Yeah.
You could have the Roomba chasing the little BB-8 around the house. That could be hilarious.
That would be fantastic. I do want one just to see what my dog does to it. But I'm not paying $800, obviously. That's just insane.
What?
And I think Dyson have got one out now as well, which might be better.
It might vacuum and not wheeze.
Yeah, but it's that one's probably more than $800, I would imagine.
It has a Dyson label on it, so they're 800 quid for the label, isn't it?
Yeah, those labels are pretty expensive.
So, I didn't realize that Samsung were in the market. Well, I suppose they're in the market for everything, aren't they?
They make everything from ships to phones to, everything.
So, this is a ridiculous tie-in, isn't it? Obviously, we've got a new Star Wars film. I assume it came out this week with the announcement of a new Star Wars trailer and everything like that, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, they could have put, I don't know what they could have put on it, but they're like, what can we put Star Wars on?
I've seen Star Wars-themed vaped mods. That's been a thing.
Oh, they must make the noise, though, mustn't they?
They don't push it that far, because obviously these are in no way official things. These are just people in China thinking, hey, we can sell a lot of these to Americans. So they just do it.
No, if they're
Chinese knockoffs, then there's a higher likelihood they aren't going to work right. So at some point, you'll start doing the wheezing yourself. You don't need the device to do it.
Exactly. They're all Chinese, though. They work. I think I've got one. That shouldn't be the kind of thing I only think I've got, should it?
Rich, you've got a lot of stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I should know how many vape mods I've got.
Have you cleaned up that loft yet?
No. There's far too much crap up here. I'm getting there, though.
Is your room like my room, where the missus doesn't come in? She's just like, if she has to come up and like ask you if you want a cup of tea, she kind of looks and just goes, oh, for God's sake. Walks away.
You occasionally get that, I had to go up there today. And you just go, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You see this here. It looks very tidy around here. It's just shit everywhere around here.
Yeah. Oh, God, if you could see the floor of this room.
Yeah, exactly.
My God.
Yeah, you're clean where the camera sees. The rest can be what it wants to be, right? Yeah,
that's how set dressing works.
Yeah. Apparently what this room wants to be is a bloody mess.
Yeah. No, actually, I did have word. My wife, I've got a freezer just here, just because that's how offices work. And she said, well, we're going to want a new fridge freezer. We're going to put it there. So you're going to have to move your desk about 5 inches to the right. I said, fuck off. Oh, I'm going to beat that now. Jesus Christ. What time is that? Okay, I'll beat that. I've lined this blooming backdrop out for blooming years. I'm not moving 5 inches that way. A man's office is his blooming palace. And I think we'd all agree, wouldn't we?
I totally agree.
It's what we want to believe.
Exactly. But we do need a Star Wars Darth Vader Roomba to do that, don't we?
And a Sphero BB-8.
I think that Sphero might be able to find a path through my man cave. I'm not entirely sure a Roomba would fit. I'm not sure there is an empty place wide enough for a Roomba to do its thing up here.
It would just come in and just go, oh, God, no. I can't be bothered.
If I bury myself under this clutter, he'll forget he owns me and it'll be fine.
My friend's got one of those... he's got one of those iRobot blooming lawnmowers as well. I don't get it. I like a good vacuum. I spent a good amount of money on a good Dyson. I like a good vacuum. I think this... God, why would you want a robot to hoover your house? It's not a big job. But then if you put Star Wars on it, then I'm kind of sold.
They need to do a time with Doctor Who, make a Dalek one, and then promote how it doesn't do stairs.
Oh, shut up. Oh, and Batwench says, do you like a good suck? Thank you, Batwench. Bless your heart.
Did it just get hot in here?
So the question is, are we buying one?
Not for that price.
And nope. Who is gonna buy one?
For that price.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
I mean, for comparison, the Dyson one is actually $799. So it's the same price, but it doesn't make the wheezing noise.
Oh, ridiculous. Thing is, they're gonna try anything, aren't they? Tie in and tech is just one of those things, isn't it? It's just always gonna be one of those things. Absolutely. And I think they just saw an opportunity. And it's Star Wars this week. Star Wars. It's going to be Star Wars the next 4 months, isn't it?
Basically,
without a doubt. So it's going to be Hoovers, dildos, God knows what it's going to be. But it's all going to be Star Wars. Oh, God, that's terrible.
May the Force be with you has taken on a whole new meaning now. Thank you very much.
Quite literally. This was your father's lightsaber. Oh, no. Don't pass that down. You watched it.
Oh. So really? I'm assuming Batwench is...
I don't like Star...
Sorry, Will.
I was going to say, I don't quite understand the big thing with Star Wars.
What?
Oh, I find it a little bit boring.
I'm feeling a bit faint.
Well, I mean, there's not that much to it, is it?
What was boring? The multitude of lightsaber fights or the massive space station exploding? What was your downtime there? Come on.
Well, there's not much of a storyline going on, though, is there, really? It's Lord of the Rings.
It's exactly Lord of the Rings. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
That way you will, I suppose. And
there's only so many of the same storyline sort of whacked out that you can take, I think.
Well, it is a classic of sci-fi. I mean, come on.
Oh, I'll go with that. Star Wars, the first film, was fantastic. It's like Jaws, the first fantastic.
Let's see Jaws vacuum cleaner.
Three and fa-la-la-la. Jaws.
Jaws
vacuum cleaner.
I'm full.
But I really enjoyed the first one. I think I even went to the cinema to see it. Seven, was it? I think.
I think it was 79, but I could be wrong.
It was.
Anyway,
New Hope was 77.
Yeah.
Look at that. Do I win a prize for that?
Well, I was one at the time, so I wouldn't have seen it.
I was -3, so I definitely didn't see it.
Well, I was 6, so I don't know how my dad.
How did you? Well, you saw Jaws at 6 in the cinema.
No, I was talking about Star Wars then.
Oh, okay.
Or was I talking about Jaws? I can't remember. All the time. but yeah, 1 was great. I loved it. Jaws 1 was great. I loved it. Well, the same sort of story can be of the of that sort of genre. It's like I'm a massive fan of it. But if they did a sequel to it, I think they need to give up on the Star Wars.
But what would I do as a 41-year-old geek, Will?
Hardcore porn, I would advise.
I tried that. It's not the same.
They want to keep Harrison out of it, so he's at least he's well enough for the new Indiana Jones, because things keep he keeps crashing his aeroplane, or bits of the set keep knocking him out, and all sorts of stuff. The bloke's gonna be dead soon.
He's a bit doddery, isn't he?
Certainly he is, or accident prone. I don't know which.
He's certainly not somebody that should be made to run on film anymore.
No,
and I know. Bad for him when they make him run. He's clearly not up to it.
No, he could do with a robot vacuum cleaner.
Absolutely.
He could ride that vacuum cleaner into the sun. But I'm not. I'll wait to see the new Indiana Jones, and he can rock it. And if I was looking as good as him at what is he, 78? I think.
I think he's at 121. I think
or something. Like that, I'd be well. Yeah. None of this has much to do with it. It's enjoyable.
Right, we have so gone off Star Wars vacuum cleaners. It's ridiculous. Come on, someone, please. I'm drowning here. Someone say, throw me a lifeline in the chat room.
Hey, you could grab that Star Wars link I tossed in the chat room if you want.
Oh, what have you got there? Jeffrey! God, I can't dig up. Jesus, what is? Oh,
you have
God.
Safe browsing turned on, right?
Yeah, right. God, Jeff, explain this to me, please.
Oh, I just found it. It was easy. All I did was a Google search: Star Wars sex toys, and this was the first thing that came up.
Do I click on begin slideshow?
You're going to love the first one. You're going to love the first one.
Okay. I'm going to do one of those like teenage reaction videos. Hey man, I'm going to look at the new Star Wars sex toys. Oh, for God's sake. Oh, you have the laugh, aren't you? God, latex key.
Yeah. Oh, God. Your whole latex stormtrooper.
Spanking paddles. Oh, Jeffrey. Blindfolded restraints. Oh, actually, that's interesting. Oh, my God. Lightsaber. The Star Wars Red Flogger.
When you say lightsaber, I think it's good that you stop there because I think we're probably...
We're on sketchy ground.
I thought it was bad that I found a BB-8 Philips shaver.
Seriously?
Yeah, hang on, I'll give you an Amazon link.
God, please.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff. I put Star Wars into Amazon and then saw what departments came up, and they have the health and whatever health and personal care. So there's a Star Wars toothbrushes, Star Wars Gillette razors, Star Wars.
That actually looks slightly BB-8-ish, that Philly shave.
It really does, doesn't it? It's not bad.
Looks quite nice, actually.
Yeah, it's probably all right. There's an R2-D2 one as well.
Oh, God, it's all gone wrong.
So, yeah, I also found...
Should we move on to the next story?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody, come on.
Hey, I tried to help.
I'd like to apologise to Mr. Ewan Rankin for the downfall of his British Tech Network. It all happened here. You got to see it. And you got this lot to blame for it.
Definitely wasn't the host. On. It's definitely us.
Yeah, don't include me. I haven't done anything naughty.
William.
Oh, the day is young.
So, but bring us back with your story because I like your story.
Well, it doesn't give me any pleasure, but at the same time, I guess it's kind of inevitable. But it's now official that Windows Phone is dead. So Microsoft are going to continue to keep it patched and running so that people don't get hacked to be Jesus. But other than that, it's dead. No new hardware, no new features. They're just letting it very slowly die, unfortunately. So it was nice while it lasted.
Didn't I understand that it didn't come out officially? It was kind of Joe Bell Fury just doing a few tweets.
Yeah, but with his Microsoft hat on. And they also have actually stopped. There hasn't been any activity and Windows features haven't been coming out. So everyone sort of said, well, it's de facto dead. And now it's being seen as, yeah, okay, it's dead.
But I've said this before on this show and other show. I think it's a sad thing.
I agree.
Would probably agree it's a sad thing. I don't know what everyone else thinks, but I think Windows Phone was a very snappy, very intuitive operating system. It came late. It was didn't have the app support, which is the death knell of any mobile operating system, but it was okay. But I think we saw this coming, didn't we?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing, it was different. Like, Android is just, I mean, Android has now found its personality, but initially Android was, it was just copy-paste job. Like, it was a very, very crude copy of iOS.
Mm, exactly.
And Microsoft never went that route. Like, Windows Phone has always been its own thing. It had its own model for things. It had its own philosophy. And it deserved to do well, but for various reasons. I don't know whether the hardware was more of an issue than the software. I don't know whether the lack of apps was what really killed it. But whatever they managed to do to not catch the zeitgeist, despite the OS being original and creative, it didn't work for them.
Made me laugh. Was it the CTO or one of the chaps in Microsoft basically said, this is shit. And I bought an Android phone instead.
Yeah.
I think.
No.
Well, from what I heard today, he's got an Android phone, and Bill Gates is rocking an Android phone as well.
Yeah, well, Bill Gates has got enough money not to worry about it. But the CTO to say that our product is shit and I've gone for Android instead. I think the whole sort of mobile platform at the moment is shifting slightly. So you've got Google buying up like 40% of HTC.
Yeah.
And they're trying to marry the combination that Apple have been doing for year dot when it comes to both producing the hardware. And never really, they've tried to take the different model that Google initially did with Android and sort of license a platform out to other providers, other hardware people. But that it just didn't work out for them.
No,
they've looked at the
that's the thing. I think they had a really good opportunity because. Obviously, in days of old when Microsoft was so powerful, a phone that had the Internet Explorer, I say it with a very cursed tongue, but a lot of people who had Windows PCs had Internet Explorer as their browser because they didn't know anything better. And you had a phone that had the same button on it for the internet as their PC. And I tried to move a lot of people to Windows Phone, more elderly people than anyone else. And I went, well, you'll understand this. And plus, I can configure the home screen for just the stuff that you need. And I think that was it. And I think the first thing that Microsoft did, they even did a thing. I think the first advertising campaign was something like, you know, you don't have to look at your phone that long because you can get in, get out and get it done. But they didn't have YouTube support properly, didn't Instagram, you know, the things that most people do on their phones. And I think I've heard some things this week about people saying, yeah, when you reinstall a new phone, only install the apps that you need when you need them. But the first thing you install, they're the social media apps, they're the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the Twitters, your email apps and that sort of thing. And Windows Phone just didn't have it. Unless you want to use the inbuilt ones.
That was the biggest, when I had that, I can't remember what model it was. I think I got the one that was the first entirely Microsoft produced one. Maybe after they bought Nokia or something like that. And it was a £49 phone. And it was great.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic. But you couldn't watch a YouTube video on it or go to Instagram or any number of other things that is a thing everybody wants to do with their smartphone. And that was its downfall. It was better than the HTC whatever thing I had at the time.
See, you've brought it out. I know which one you had.
Was it the M8? It was their flagship at the time.
You had the HTC One, you did, and you hated it.
Yeah, that was just a god-awful piece of garbage. But it was many times more pricey than that little Microsoft phone, and it was just rubbish in comparison. But, yeah, once you find out, you know, it's that, so how do I watch this YouTube video? And the answer is, oh, you can't. Then that's it. It doesn't matter how nice the email app is.
No,
and that's what did them in.
You lose the younger market as well. If you haven't got, I think Instagram, which they didn't have as well, and you know, I know they had a Facebook and all that sort of stuff, but yeah, you lose things like YouTube and you lose Instagram, then you're pretty much screwed, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm not a massive Microsoft fan because I'm an Apple fanboy, but I have very fond memories. I was working at this farm, and but this is not a tangent.
I was going to say, Will, where you go, Will?
I'm along for the ride.
And I had an old Saab. It was a Saab 99. And I got this Windows CE phone, which I was able to connect our phone. And I remember pausing at the top of the lane as I was leaving the farm. And I was able to get it to connect. Just the most amazing thing. So I was able to pick up email, and this is probably 15 years ago, something like that, this little Windows CE device. And I think you've got to applaud Microsoft for go with Sign first of all, but Microsoft did a very good job of a small pocket PC, I think they called them.
Yeah, I had one. I had a Dell one.
They were good, weren't they? They did the job.
It was all right. I had a Dell. Oh, I can't remember what they were called now. But I even had a separate little, a separate little GPS thing that I could like put next to it, and it was he plugged into it, and this is well before iPhone and all those sort of things, and you could put MP3s on there. I thought it was different in the future. It was all right. It was a stylus, and all that was just brilliant. But you know, it was okay. I think they had it in the day when they had no competition, and there was that famous thing of the release of the iPhone and Steve Ballmer laughing at it, and I think they laughed for far too long and then went, oh god, this thing's really taken off.
Oh shit.
Sorry, Will.
All I was going to say is, I'm not a massive Microsoft fan, being an Apple fanboy, but I will take a step back, and it certainly helped the tech, not exact revolution, but the progression of mobile devices, and I don't think anybody should take that away from them. And so it's sad news that they've left that area.
I think Steve Ballmer squandered it. It's the lasting legacy of the Ballmer era of Microsoft is that they missed mobile, and they did so catastrophically to the point that they were not able to recover. And it was all down to this ridiculous idea of Windows everywhere. And I think the flaw in all the early Windows products was that they insisted on making it like the desktops. You had a start menu on a screen the size of a postage stamp. I mean, you're describing them as revolutionary devices. I describe them as completely and utterly behind the curve compared to the handsprings and stuff from Palm, which were actually properly designed to be used as a small portable device. This notion that we should bodge a start menu onto these tiny little things was a stupid idea. And Ballmer stopped Microsoft from innovating because it had to be Windows first, Windows everywhere. And when finally the Windows Mobile OS came out and it was unique and it was different and it was special and it was actually well thought out, it was just too late.
Yeah.
Point. The, as you say, thinking back to the Microsoft ones, they did have a start button on everything, didn't they?
They did, and that was Ballmer's notion that we have this Windows brand, it's the goose that laid the golden egg, and we're going to squeeze every last egg out of it, regardless of... I mean, if you saw some of the stuff they're doing with Project Courier that got killed...
Oh, God, yeah, that was a little...
Yeah, basically, they had these genius ideas within Microsoft, and Steve Ballmer killed them all because it wasn't Windows.
No, and that was the bigger thing. But at the end of the day, they've tried it again, because with the Windows... Well, they tried to do Windows 8, they did it more Windows 10, where it's like Windows on everything. But it doesn't have to be Windows anymore. It's such a... thing is, Windows... Do you know what? With Windows 10, I'd have killed the Windows name. Because, oh, for God's sake, you know, it's so old now. And, I like you, but I work in an educational thing. I don't know if you see it from the students and things around you, but I see a hell of a lot of Macs and a lot of Chromebooks now.
Yeah, when you stand
Windows.
The, when you stand at the bottom of a lecture theater and look up, there's an awful, awful lot of white Apple logos that glow back at you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing on top of that is, and you probably know that through education, is there's a 15% discount on Apple stuff where you can't do that.
You know that very well.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, the .ac.uk email address is very valuable.
Yes. Well, in our case, it's our institution.ie. But oh yeah, they're very good to have. That's really helpful when you need a new Mac or a new iPad or a new iPhone or whatever.
Absolutely. And when I talked to our sales manager over in Ireland a lot, and they're always, you know, the start of the year, it's like, you know, here's a new Apple hoodie, here's a new Apple jacket, here's some T-shirts, here are a load of posters, because we want you to know that there's 15% off Apple stuff.
I wish they'd come around our way. I haven't got any free Apple stuff.
I'll send you an email address of a lovely lady. She's very lovely.
I had to go to Cupertino to get an Apple hoodie.
Oh, I've got an Apple fleece. I've got an Apple wallet. I've got an Apple notebook. Oh yeah, they send you all the good stuff if you send business their way.
God, I technically do, but you know, get asked once on a form, like, would you recommend Apple to other people? And then it said, how many people do you think you've recommended Apple to? And I thought about all the podcasts I've been on. And just put 2 million there. Like, give me free shit.
Ah, see, I've got some sales things.
Don't say it to a genius. don't say it to a genius. It's one of those things, like, you know, oh, I sell so many of these things, you should give me commission. They will hate you immediately. I think everybody says that to them.
No, I did a thing once where I went a couple of years ago. I went into the Apple store and I was wearing my Apple fleece, and they make you stand in the front of the Apple store, and they go, oh, would you like a genius appointment? Yes, I would like one. And we'll come and get you in a minute. What's your name? I said, oh, my name's Paul. And they note down distinguishing features so they could find you. They went, bloke in the Apple fleece. And they went, yeah, a man will be with you in 5 minutes. And I was like, yeah, that's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. Because they go, there's only one way you get those things. Yeah, I will share the wealth. But isn't the demise of Windows Phone, it was so inevitable, wasn't it? Because they did because it was when Windows set phones, I think, when it came out, was it Windows Phone Series 7 it was called, wasn't it?
Oh, I can't remember what it was, but it took a half an hour to say whatever it was.
It was Windows Phone Series 7. And then they did the thing where it was Windows 8 wouldn't work on Windows 7 phones, and then Windows 10 wouldn't work on Windows 8 phones. And at that point, you've even lost the hardcore fans.
And don't even mention the Surface RT. I had the misfortune of having a test model of that device to evaluate it for work.
I used one. I was given one for 6 months, and I gave it back in 5 days.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I can't remember how long I was supposed to keep it, but it did not stay in my possession for long. It's like, you may have this very, very heavy paperweight back.
No. And that's been the problem with Microsoft, is this merging of the old and the new. And I think with Windows Phone 10, I have a friend at work. He's a friend of the network, and he's really big into Windows Phone. And he's got the latest, I think it's the 960. The last Lumia proper one that they made when Microsoft still owned Nokia properly. And he loves it. And he's sad that it's going. And I get it. It's a lovely screen. It's a lovely phone. It works great. But, you know, we sit there in the pub at lunchtime, and I've got my iPhone there. And I'm like, I've got this app. I've got that app. I've got this and I've got that. And he's like, no, I've got nothing. No. And the only thing you get on Windows Phone is I've got Field Runners. It's a great game, and he's got like a dodgy clone of something on iOS.
Microsoft's strength in the past was always that they would just keep at it. They were like a zombie. They would never stop. Like, initially, the Xbox was a joke. I mean, everyone thought Microsoft getting into gaming, you know, all of those spreadsheet lovers, that's never going to work. And they made a loss. But you know what? They stuck at it. And now they're a major gaming platform.
Oh, absolutely.
That's Microsoft's MO.
Yeah, and I thought they were
something and iterate and iterate and iterate it till it's actually usable.
And I thought when they bought Nokia, that was their approach. They were going to, if you'll excuse the phrase, sink money into that thing for half a decade at least and keep at it and at it and at it. And they didn't. And like the Nokia Windows phones, when Nokia made them, were really nice phones. And I thought they were going to go from strength to strength. And they just withered on the vine under Microsoft's tutelage.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, is it a resourcing issue? How did they manage to screw up, you know, great raw ingredients and come out with a really, really, really ugly pie?
Yeah, but they get it, like you say, with the Xbox, they get it right. You know, I made an investment about 3 or 4 months ago and I bought an Xbox One S because that's a really good console.
Yeah,
and I was invested in the ecosystem. I love the Xbox 360. I'm a member of Xbox Live Gold, and when I bought my Xbox One S, I turned it on. It went, here's like 300 games you own. I was like, that's it. It's great, and it works. And I get 4 free games every month, and it's great. And it's got all the titles that I want, and it's got exclusives. Some exclusives on PS4 that I'd love, but I haven't got yet. And me and Rich talk back and forth about, you know, what's best, PS4 or Xbox. Rich will tell you PS4, won't you, Rich?
Yeah.
Sorry. But the fact that that's a conversation where you can have an honest disagreement speaks volumes. You know, which is best, Windows Phone or any other OS you can think of? It's not even a conversation. It's like...
No. So they excel in many areas, but what was that thing you said, Rich, about the Xbox One in Japan? Isn't it? Is it sold as a Blu-ray player that plays games? Doing
very well as a Blu-ray player in Japan. Yeah. Because they ain't bothered about it as a games machine. It was outsold by the PS3 week before last.
Huh.
Yeah.
They're literally in low double-digit sales figures in Japan. It's just not taken off there at all.
No.
And I think everywhere else, people, the serious gamers have gone to PS4. They might get some traction back with that Xbox One S, but I'm still, we'll see how that goes. I still don't know what to make of that. I think if you're a serious enough gamer to be bothered about all the high-end graphics and stuff like that, you've got a gaming PC, and you're not necessarily out to spend 500 quid on a console, but we'll see what happens.
So in summary... And I'll do a straw poll and I'll go through each of you. You tell me if you're sad or you're just really not bothered if Windows Phone has died. Jeffrey?
I'm disappointed because I was hoping Windows Phone would really fire up the competition between the big platforms. Mm-hmm. And it's gone. So I'm disappointed.
But?
It was inevitable, but I'm really, really sad that it's come to this. You know, 3 years ago, they could have turned it around, but they didn't. So I'm sad. Yeah. It's a horrible end for what should have been a great product line.
I agree. Rich?
Yeah, I'm sad as well for exactly those reasons. It deserved to do better than it did. And I'm kind of frustrated that Android did as well as it did because I never thought that deserved to do well in comparison. So
yeah.
They're completely great. Will?
It deserved to die, didn't it? Let's be honest.
There's the voice of reason.
Sensibly, it only had itself to blame, really. When you get the guy, the CTO, and I bought an Android phone instead.
You were never a fan.
Well, no, I'm not a Microsoft fan, and I won't lie that I am. But I will applaud them, give it a go, and I'm sure in a few years they'll have learned a few lessons, and maybe technology will have moved on, and they can come back from being the underdog to maybe beating Google or Apple. I don't know. It's just, okay, it's a bit of a knockout for them. Taking the punch, but like any good tech company, I'm sure they'll come back.
That's a good point Will makes. Do you think that Microsoft can be without a mobile strategy?
Sure. They have a mobile strategy, and it's called Microsoft Everywhere.
Their apps are amazing. They make some of the best iOS apps. And
oh, God,
with Satya Nadella in the lead.
Outlook and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with Satya Nadella in the lead, Microsoft are not a Windows company. They're a services company. Microsoft, like a colleague of mine. We're a pretty heavily Linux place and work. Went to a Microsoft event and they had a giant big Tux Penguin going full Red Hat 7 support. I mean, Microsoft now versus the Microsoft that killed Windows 10, like actually killed. I mean, I know it's now been finished off, but it was killed while Ballmer was in charge. It's a completely different company. I mean, when the whole cloud stuff they're doing is completely platform agnostic. It's all about the services. It's all about the stuff you build on top, and they don't care what OS you're using to get at their stuff. They want to sell you their services, and their services are really nice.
Yeah.
Is it me, or is there a sort of similarity between Ballmer and Trump? They sort of look similar, don't they?
a lot of hot air, big blowhards, laughing appropriately. Yeah, okay, I'll go with it.
No, I won't, because even though Ballmer comes across like a buffoon, at least he didn't have the ability to potentially exterminate the entire human species.
Fair point. And also, I don't believe he's ever gone bankrupt. I believe he's actually a decent businessman.
Yeah, he's never gone bankrupt. Also, not orange.
Yeah, okay.
well, we salute Windows Phone for trying. They were awesome when they tried, but they didn't try hard enough.
I don't know. It's that the top of the company didn't give them the resources to let it be what it could have been. I think an awful lot of very frustrated people in Microsoft who tried their hardest and just never got the support they needed.
No, I completely agree.
That's so unfortunate.
Oh, it's sad. It's very sad. Will, did you be
there? Shit.
Right. This show and all the others is brought to you by A Laughing Will Green. No, it's not. It's brought to you by UK2 because they are awesome. I'm a UK2 customer, not just because they sponsor the show, but because they're pretty damn awesome. Every time I have a problem, they sort everything out. They sort out all of my problems. They sort out all my email problems. They sort out because I'm a bit of a buffoon when it comes to internet stuff, even though it's my job. But it's just nice that you've got your own little IT department with UK2 who just sort everything out. They are properly awesome. We properly love them. They pick up all of our bandwidth. They pick up the live server, which only works when Ewan's here, obviously, because if not, Google picked that up. But generally, you'll get a better level of service when Ewan's around and not me doing this shambles of me trying to hold this thing together. But these guys have done a great job. Support UK2 because they support us and they are the best. Now, all I can ask from you boys, the remaining boys, we lost camps, unfortunately. I'm going to ask for your cool things. And William Green, did you bring a cool thing?
No, I didn't realize I had to.
That was easy. I didn't tell you. That's why I asked you first.
But I can find.
Shall I come back to you?
Hold on. I have got one, actually.
He's got one.
But this is iOS. Is that all right? I think so.
That's fine. You can do cool Apple things on this show.
Oh, okay. I was told off last time.
I'm in charge now. Don't listen to the bloke.
Okay. It's
love
iOS
it when you get bossy.
Sexy. Android. It's an app called Spending. Now, at the moment, I'm going through a slightly transition, and every penny I spend, I have to account for. When you wake up in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock, something like that, and think, oh shit, where am I in this world? Things is to know where your money is going. So Spending, I won't spell it out because it's fairly obvious. Spending is on when it comes to iOS, and it's really simple thing. So every day, let's go to Sainsbury's or wherever, and then I type it into this little chap, mm-hmm. can add a category. Is it food? Is it wine? Is it a takeaway? Is it whatever it is? It sort of ties it up. So I know exactly how much money I've got left in my wallet without the money and counting it. So opening it shows.
Is that a freebie?
Yeah, it's free. If you want to do recurring payments, 69 pence or something like that. A quid, let's say a quid.
Yeah.
But I did buy it back in the day, but I don't use the bought recurring payments. I just use it to, I suppose, I type in how much I've spent, how much I've got, and sort of reassurance. And it got I'll spend it all. You open your wallet and you got about £6. the day after you open your wallet, you got about £6. I wish I hadn't done that. This is a good controlling how much you spend.
Well, I might check that out because I really need that sort of thing. I'll go to Bart next, because Bart, I know you probably need to run very soon. So have you got a cool thing, sir?
I do indeed. So I have been, one of the big changes in my lifestyle, apart from all the exercise and stuff, is I've been doing a lot more cooking, because if you cook stuff yourself, you're not left second guessing what ingredients are in there. You know what's in there because you put it there.
Very true.
So I have wanted a good recipe managing app to manage all of my recipes. And I have found, I was put onto one by the wonderful Alison Sheridan from the Nasillacast called Paprika.
Ooh.
It is beautifully cross-platform. There is iPhone, iPad, Mac, Android, Kindle Fire, and Windows versions of it. It synchronizes through their own cloud.
Wow, and it's lovely. Just,
it's a really nice way to record your recipes, and while you're cooking, to tap off the ingredients and stuff that you've used, so that you don't repeat yourself. And it's just a well put together app. You can scale stuff. So if you want to do twice the size, you just tell it scale everything by two. It's just a nicely well put together app. It syncs seamlessly between all of your devices. It has a nice share feature to export the recipe into an email or whatever, or to send it as a .paprika file to other Paprika users. It's nicely put together. The only slight criticism I have of it is that if you buy the iPhone version, you have to buy the iPad version separately. They will charge you for every client. So
yeah,
if you want Android and Windows and Mac and Kindle Fire and iPad and iPhone, they will charge you on every platform you want. But it's a really nice app and it's really well made, so maybe they deserve my money. So there we go. Paprika at paprikaapp.com.
Love it.
Absolutely. Paprika?
It. Yes, Will.
Is your poo red? That's all I've got to say.
Oh,
well, it does. It really. It's I'm not being rude.
That and beetroot salad, Will.
So if we did sweet corn, paprika covered sweet corn.
Oh God,
that would be an amazing morning, wouldn't it?
And we throw in some asparagus for some olfactory addition as well.
Okay, let's do it. And can we? I used to. This is probably the reason she left me. if I had a really hot curry, or in the morning, it was a really interesting experience, and I used to quite enjoy it. But I'm not going to.
I think we've reached the point of too much information.
Oh, God. Yeah, so who else has a cool thing? Moving on.
Rich.
Yeah, hey there. Hey, I'll come in. You know, smoking too much weed can turn you wee green, but we'll move on from that to talk about. This
I don't know. Asparagus, I thought, was the.
That makes you wee smell, I think, rather than...
Maybe it does. I'm more likely to have done one of those things than the other.
We need to do a barbecue, but... a dinner fest of all the things that in the morning you'll be able to take and enjoy the night before. We should call it memories of the night before. What do you think? Asparagus.
You buy that domain, Will.
Oh, okay. Oh, shut up, shut up.
Bless your heart. Go on, Ben.
Right. So
come back from that.
Yeah, okay. So I've got a new computer this game this week. It's called Signmara EX. It's out on everything. It's $13.99 on PS4 and Xbox One, and it's $19.99 on Switch because we've got to buy a cartridge. But it's basically a very old-school style left-to-right shoot-em-up. And I haven't played a decent one of those, if one at all, for like 20 years. So for that amount of money, it's definitely worth a bit of a blast on whatever game console you've got. Kids, this is what games used to be like. You didn't have to overthink it. You just used to hold your finger on a fire button and try not to hit anything.
Yeah, good times.
They were indeed. So it just goes from left to right. Sometimes it mixes it up and goes from right to left. It's kind of crazy like that, but it's just a nice shoot 'em up game. I recommend it a lot this week.
They're my favorites. Absolutely.
And it's, like I say, it's cheap enough. I think you'll get a download of it for like 14 quid. So have a go with it.
I have a house to myself and an Xbox One S tomorrow. I might give it a go.
There you go. You see, that's what it's for.
Thank you, mate. I will give you an update on Sunday.
Excellent.
Brilliant. Jeffrey.
All right. I do not have a latex stormtrooper sex bodysuit for you today. Sorry.
Not wearing it anyway.
But,
could be wearing the lower half.
Yeah, you could be wearing the bottom half. But I do have a TV show for you.
Okay.
And it's The Orville.
Oh, is that the Seth... It's the thing, yes. The yes. Star Trek thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and so what he did, from what I understand, was he got some of the people that had been involved in the various Star Trek franchises, and set them loose on this project. So it's a sci-fi series that has humor in it as well. So occasionally you get stupid or silly jokes, but the writing is good. The stories are really good. And I have loved that when you get the story where if it was any other sci-fi series, you get to a point in an episode where you're like, okay, so now I know how this is going to end. And you get to the end of the episode and it's like, holy crap, I didn't expect them to do what they just did.
Oh, wow. What I was hearing online is the first episode is a little hard to get past, but once you pass the first episode, it's great.
The first episode I thought was fine. That's the one that's the most comedy heavy.
Right. And it gets a bit more serious after that.
But there's still funny stuff throughout the rest of the episodes. But, you know, they're looking at serious topics and they're taking... like a real serious approach to the way they address the issues that they're dealing with. And then you have some comedy mixed in with it along the way too. It feels to me like what Seth MacFarlane is doing is along the lines of what Gene Roddenberry tried to do with the original Star Trek, where you approach current social issues. And then you use something as a distraction to keep the censors from saying, you can't talk about this.
Yeah.
For Gene Roddenberry, it was miniskirts. And for Seth MacFarlane, it's jokes.
Brilliant. And they say it's very Roddenberry-esque, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Because Star Trek Discovery is not as Roddenberry-esque, but they say this is more that sort of vein, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw the first two episodes of Star Trek Discovery, and I enjoyed them, but it was a Star Trek series in name only to me. They could have done it as...
Jeff. Those first two episodes are, because they're backstory, they're nothing like the rest of the series. It's really weird. So those first two are the worst episodes to judge that series by. It's absolutely bizarre.
Well, it'll be a while before I see them because in the United States, I have to pay for a subscription TV service to watch them.
Oh, I just get them on Netflix. It's great.
Yeah, we do.
It's because you're outside the United States.
We still pay time for a service to watch them.
Yeah, true. We still pay for Netflix. Yeah,
we just happen to already have the thing.
Right. But here, I have to pay $10 a month for an extra streaming television service to watch that.
Yeah.
And no, and I'm not going to do it.
No.
But the Orville, I mean, it's on it's just on television. So you can just go to the Fox website and watch the shows for free. And I think it's a really well done show. To me, this is the Star Trek that we should have today.
Brilliant. Okay, that's another thing for me to do on my day off tomorrow then. And I'll get back to you, Jeff.
Okay.
About various things.
I bet you will.
I bet I will. Well, thank you, lads, for coming out tonight and for helping me fill in while you is out on maneuvers. And the only thing I have to say to you boys is, where can we get hold of you? Mr. William Green.
Well, I think it has to be Memories Buffet.
No.
I really think there's a market for that. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Manager.
BritishMac.com. I do a sort of a monthly, I suppose.
A fine podcast.
Based show. Yeah, just talks about Apple stuff. I try and focus on the Apple Mac, which is my an ex-app. And but I also touch on iPhone and bits and pieces. Good random, man. I think it's very much the word. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming out. I really appreciate you coming out tonight. It's been brilliant.
That's all.
Bless your heart.
Have I embarrassed you? Is that okay?
Right. It takes a lot more to embarrass me, and I've been doing this show with Jeff for 4 years, so no. It's not going to happen. Never going to happen.
That's a good...
Never going to happen. Mr. Rich.
Yeah.
My partner in crime.
You'll find everything I do at simplysyndicated.com. And
well done on the breakfast show.
Thank you. It's good to be doing live call-in shows again.
Fantastic. And
we'll be back tomorrow night at 11:30 on our YouTube channel.
I might come live. It was so good. I listened to it post, but it was brilliant.
Yeah, do it. Thank you. It's very enjoyable. So that's Rich and Allison's Super Happy Fun Late Night Daytime Breakfast Show.
I'm glad you said it and I didn't.
Yeah. I've been practicing. But it's out on the website now as well. You can go and get the first episode. And it's all at simplysyndicated.com.
Fantastic. Mr. Bouchotts, thank you for coming out, sir. Really appreciate it. Where can we find you?
You can find the two podcasts I produce at let's-talk.ie. You'll find a monthly Apple show where we try to take a big picture view of everything happening in the world of Apple. So we step back, we have a look at the forest instead of the trees, and we try to assess what's happened in the last month. And then in the middle of the month, there's a photography show, which is about the art and craft of photography. So if you're tired of being told which lens is marginally better than which other lens, what you actually care about is why you might want to use a macro lens instead of a telephoto lens, then Let's Talk Photography is the show for you. And then you'll find me at bartb.ie.
Fantastic. Really appreciate seeing you again, sir.
My pleasure.
And last but not least, as my wife would say, Jeff.
Tell your wife I love her.
Will.
You can find me at macobserver.com along with a bunch of other really awesome writers. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Jay Gamut. Same thing on Instagram. I'm on gobs of podcasts. And I'm having a lot of fun with stuff I'm doing on TMO's Daily Observation show. So there you go. And
it's a must.
Oh, thanks. And it's always awesome to be here.
Thank you. Camp has a dropout, connection issues, but you can find me at Campion UK. I'm Paul, I'm on Twitter over here at BritishTechNetwork.com. And hang out on a Sunday afternoon after my roast dinner with a full belly, talking to Rich about tech at SimplySyndicated.com. We're really pleased that you could join us today. And thank you for the lads for coming out. Give us a great show. I think Ewan will be proud of us. I think he might, I might get a lot of grade score or something like that, but maybe six of the best. We'll see what happens. But until next week, when the governor's back, thank you for coming to the big show. See you later.